This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Michelle Norris. The world is about to meet Joseph Darby. He's the Army reservist who blew the whistle on prisoner abuse at Abu Ghraib. Darby has not spoken publicly in the 2.5 years since he gave investigators a CD containing the notorious pictures of prisoner abuse. Many of Joseph Darby's former comrades from the 372nd Military Police Company have been sentenced to prison for their roles in the Abu Ghraib case. Joseph Darby cooperated with those prosecutions. Now that he's no longer bound by a government gag order, Joseph Darby is telling his story. There's an article in the September issue of GQ magazine. He came to our New York studio today and explained that prisoner abuse at Abu Ghraib started even before his unit arrived.
When we arrived, we were given tours to acclimate ourselves to the area. And the tour, when we went through Tier 1, there were 12 inmates wearing women's undergarments. And we were told that was in punishment for the for mortaring the compound, and that, you know, that was the first thing I saw when we got to the prison, and it, you know, that was the beginning, I guess.
How did you first get a hold of that CD that contained all these pictures?
I was volunteering my time at the cyber cafe on the installation. We had a satellite cyber cafe, and Grainer was there one evening, and I went up to him, and I had just gotten my laptop brought back with me from leave.
Charles Grainer.
Yes. And I wanted to try to get digital photos because I had been getting the normal photos taken and getting them developed in Iraq, and the heat would cause them to delaminate. So I wanted to get digital so I could have pictures to take home. And I asked Grainer for if he had any pictures, and he handed me 2 CDs. I dumped them to my, you know, I downloaded them to my computer and gave the CDs back. I didn't look at them until it was either the next evening or the following evening when I actually sat down and looked through the pictures.
And describe that. What happened as you started to?
Well, the first CD was the pictures I had actually asked for, the pictures of Hilla and Babylon Palace and places we'd been. The second CD, the first picture I opened was a pyramid, the Pyramid of Men. And at first, I didn't know it was Iraqis. I mean, I was more shocked. It seems more like something that a fraternity would do, like a prank. And, you know, I found it amusing. But then as I went on to further pictures and realized that these were prisoners and that what was happening to them, you know, I became very disgusted.
Why did you, in the end, turn them in?
Well, I had decided early on when I first saw them that something had to be done. I finally just decided that CID would be the best option to turn them into.
CID?
Yeah, the Army Criminal Investigation Division.
When you actually turned over this CD to the CID, did you hope to remain anonymous?
Yes. Yes, when I actually turned the CD over, I put it in a manila envelope with an anonymous letter, and I took it to CID's office and told them it was left over in my office, and I don't know who it came from. And then they tracked me down about an hour later, and about 20-30 minutes of one of the special agents talking to me, I told them that yes, I had been the one to give them the CD, and asked, you know, will I remain anonymous? And they said, you know, other than having to testify at trial, you know, your name won't be released. You'll just have to do a sworn statement. And, you know, I was under the assumption that no one outside of who had to know would know who turned these guys in.
Now, it took a while for your name to come out. On May 7th, Secretary Donald Rumsfeld praised you publicly in a congressional hearing. You
yes.
were in a dining facility when that happened.
Yes.
And I understand that probably didn't feel much like praise.
No. It probably took about 3 hours before everyone in my unit had gotten some word from home that I had been the one to turn them in.
What happened to you after your name was revealed?
At the time, I was trying to go home on emergency leave because my mother was ill. And my wife actually called the Pentagon and got a hold of a general. And within, like, I think it was 12 hours, I was put on a plane to come home. Because until I got home, I had no idea that my wife was being stalked by the press and the neighbors and the people in the town I lived in were giving her a very hard time over what I did.
At that point, the provost marshal for your unit said that you could never go back home.
Yes. Is
that true?
Yes. He said, you can't go home now, and you probably never will be able to.
That was based on what he was hearing back in Western Maryland?
The military actually sent they sent CID agents to do a security assessment of the area to see, you know, what the local feeling was and how safe I would be if I went there. And what they found was there was a lot of hard feelings and a lot of angry people. And with some of the comments that have even been published about me, the military did, you know, their security assessment was that I'm not safe there. I'm under serious bodily threat. But that was 2 years ago.
You testified in some of these cases, and
yes.
these are, in many cases, people who come from the same area in Western Maryland. Mm-hmm. What do you think about the punishments that were handed down to the other people in your unit?
You know, the punishments were handed out by the jury, but, you know, I think some got what they deserved, and some didn't get enough, and others got too much. So,
you care to attach a name to any of that?
Well, the only one that really I thought got the worst of it was Jeremy Civitz, because he was the only one that he never had a trial. Jeremy was the only one that was willing to plead guilty and say, I did something wrong, and I'll accept what you'll do to it, you know, about it. And he was the only one that, you know, had the integrity to say, yes, I'm wrong. And he got more time than Harmon and Ambule and some of the others who were more involved.
He was sentenced to 1 year of confinement.
Yes.
Knowing what you know now, what life has been like for you and for your family, your mother and your wife, would you do the same thing again?
Yes, without question. It was the right decision and it had to be made. And the only question I ever had was exactly what to do.
What's life like for you now? Where are you living?
That I'd like to keep confidential. Mm-hmm. But I have 2 weeks left in the military. I've moved on as a contractor for the government. For a company that contracts to the government. And I'm starting my life as a civilian now.
Sergeant Joseph Darby, thanks for talking to us.
Thank you.
Sergeant Joseph Darby's story will appear in the September issue of GQ magazine. You can read an excerpt and find a link to the full story at npr.org.